Welcome to the Motherhood Journey. I am so glad that you're here. This is a space where we allow the daily joys and the tough moments to shape us and build us into the beautiful and powerful women that God originally designed us to be. Let's walk this out, mamas. Let's enjoy the journey of motherhood and see it as the blessing that it is. Hello, mummies. Welcome back to the podcast. This week, I wanted to share a really exciting birth story of Flo because I realized I've not shared that. I'm sorry it's taken me so long. It is 7 months later now since I gave birth, so I really hope I can get the details correct. But I thought it'd be really fun to sit and share with you my story. I love hearing birth stories. I love listening to women and getting the little nuggets of gold and learning little lessons and seeing the ways where they surrendered and ways when it got harder and just learning about it and hearing the glory of God through every story. And this is definitely a glory to God story and a story that is worthy to be told with many, many blessings along the way. So it's so beautiful. I want to share it with you. To give a little backstory for this birth, there's a lot of backstory, so we'll see how we go. But to give you a little summary, Flo is my fourth child. I had a really hard traumatic hospital birth with my first child, Hazel, who's six now. That opened my eyes to what is birth and to understanding that there's home birthing and people do that. And there's such different outcomes through all these women I hear who home birth compared to just the general narrative of hospital births. So I went down that track, researched it heaps, had Noah and Kai both as home births with private midwives. And I love it. I cannot speak up high enough of the experience of having a home birth. You truly are taken care of by this like wise old mama. Like that's what it feels like. A woman who has been to thousands of births, who's had to deal with every single good and bad thing that pops up herself because there's no one to come and sweep the woman away. They just have so much knowledge. They have to do so much more training than a normal midwife, and they have to continually do training every year to keep up with their qualification. They're so amazing, and they come to your home for every visit. They just take care of you so beautifully well, and they care for you through the pregnancy, birth, and postpartum period. More like a friend and like a wise old mama rather than a clinical, like procedural perspective, like a hospital would. So they take care of your heart and any questions you have, and they educate you on birth, and they talk with you about your very specific scenario and issues. And we'll talk about positions you can do or remedies you can take, or they're just like your best friend in this process. It's just a super big blessing. So we get to moving to the country. We live inland in Australia, and I'm all ready to have a home birth again because I'm like, how can you go back to hospital when you've had such an amazing experience? However, my birth story, if you've listened to on this podcast with Kai, did end up being an emergency birth with shoulder dystocia, which was completely random. I had great pregnancies for all three of my babies, great birth with Noah at home naturally, and Hazel's was a natural birth. It just had a lot of interventions from the hospital that wasn't needed. So nothing was wrong with Hazel, nothing was wrong with Noah. So we didn't expect this at all, because when you have shoulder dystocia, it's either on your first baby, if there's something to do with you, but if it's on a baby later, it's usually something has interfered or gone on with that specific baby, because obviously your hips and your pelvis are big enough to birth babies out from your previous babies. So Kai's case was very unique because he really did get stuck because the cord was wrapped around his body. My waters got broken early accidentally, I literally forced him out of my body rather than working with my body. So a few different things came into play that got him to need just a tiny little bit of support to come out. But then he wasn't breathing. We declared the name of Jesus over him that he would breathe. And he did stop breathing after a few minutes. And my midwife was like, that was 100% God, because I didn't know if we were going to lose him. And it was just a beautiful story of redemption. We didn't end up getting an ambulance to the hospital, but as soon as we got there, they were like, he's perfect. Why are you here? And I was like, I know. So that was hard at the end of his birth, but so incredibly beautiful of how God showed up and walked with me. And this podcast was birthed out of his birth, of me walking through a hard time and really pressing in for God, and then wanting to have a platform where I can share that things in motherhood can be extremely hard. They can take take your breath away, like take what you think is normal or going to be away from you, and you get a different story than you expected. But God is so, so good to be faithful to his word, that he brings good through all circumstances. And this was definitely one of them. God really took care of my heart in the process. And my birth was honestly beautiful until the last 45 minutes, which you would have heard in my story. Anyway, get on to flow. I lived in the country, contacted all these home birthing midwives, and they were like, nah, we're not going to take you because of what happened with your previous child. And they were all like, we agree. We believe that it was a very unique case and it's not anything to do with your body, but we just legally can't put ourselves in that scenario. So you live so far away from the hospital, you need to go to the hospital. So that was really disappointing, but I actually felt really challenged by God that this was what was needed for me in this season, because I wanted to be released of all fear, and I wanted to be released of fear of hospitals, released of fear of doctors and nurses and OBs, because I'd had such a bad experience with them from Hazel and kind of left because of that bad experience to enjoy home birthing. So we continued on to be booked into our closest hospital, which was an hour and a half away. Well, it's actually our second closest, because there is one a little bit closer, but I wanted this hospital because it had full midwifery care. However, I realized later that the hospital I went to was for high-risk women, and I was not high-risk at all, so I got to just go to a community center for all of my appointments, and then when I got in there, they were like, oh, she's fine. We won't even bother her, which was great, because they were so busy with all their high-risk cases, they just left me alone. But it could have not ended up that way. They could have used all their normal high-risk situations on me. So I'm very, very thankful that I did not have that happen. So let's dive into the birth story. This was a huge trusting journey with me for God and learning how to release fear, as per always, going into a hospital, because for me personally, I fear more what things can be done to me in a hospital because of policy sake than I do of me actually birthing my own baby. So even though Kai had an emergency birth at home, I'm so thankful it was at home with a midwife rather than in the hospital. I was treated so, so well, and everything was done with me with hands rather than all the hospital procedure things. So I had to go on a journey with God to trust him through whatever may happen to me in hospital, because so much of your control can be taken away from you. But this is where I was landed. Need to birth in the hospital. Going to trust God. I find it a huge scenario birthing in a hospital, because giving birth is your most vulnerable thing you'll ever do, and you need to be at rest and at peace in your own heart and mind. And I personally find that really hard to do in that setting. I know a few of my friends who love hospitals, and they're like, I can be at my peace in my mind because I know I'm there. I know if anything happens, I have all the help I need. So that is so great for them. I think because when I was there with Hazel and I needed help, I wasn't given the help I actually needed. I needed emotional support and encouragement and guidance from wisdom of, this is normal, this is okay, you can get through this. But with Hayes, I just got all these medications and interventions and drugs, which then cascades to more and more and more, that actually didn't even work on me. The epidural didn't work. It was just a big, messy situation. So this time we're living in the country. I'm an hour and a half away from the hospital, and I'm having my fourth baby. Now, I was very unsure if this baby was going to come instantly, like in an hour or two, which poses to be a risk if I'm an hour and a half away from the hospital. So I was really worried about that, because even though my previous births were, Hazel's was 16, Noah's was 8 hours, Kai's was, I think, 16 as well as Hazel's. Even though they were all quite long births, when I did have my waters break, I went instantly into active birth for Kai, and within 45 minutes went from 5 centimeters to 10 and had him out. So I was kind of like, well, if that's what my body does on the third, who knows what it'll do on the fourth if everything's good and right, but my waters break and suddenly it just wants to give birth. So I was really unsure about this, and I didn't know what to do because we didn't know anyone close by here because we had just moved to the country. So my amazing sister-in-law, like, blew my mind that she did this. She picked her pregnant self up and her daughter, who was, I think, 3 at the time, and said that they're going to come live with us for the few weeks until we gave birth, so that they are here ready to take care of the kids for whenever I go into labor and I can instantly go to the hospital. And it meant the world to me, like seriously so much to me, to have that safety to be able to go into labor whenever my body wants to and know my children are taken care of and we can just go. It was truly one of the greatest gifts that someone's given me, because I would have just totally had no other option if she had not done that. So I'm very, very thankful. Alrighty, so reaching the end of my pregnancy, through her birth, just as a side note for all glory to God, in her pregnancy, I had bleeding on the 12th week of my pregnancy, heavy river flowing blood, and for a day, and we were like, oh my goodness, like, are we losing our baby? We just prayed. I left the house. Brad spent time praying and reading the word, standing in faith. I came home, he washed me in the word, and we stood together and prayed and believed that our baby's going to be safe, but we're going to trust God no matter what. And I really had such a surrendered position of like, I know deeply what the will of God is for this baby. That I hold my hands open, I will not falter. I'm not going to freak out or stress because I truly trust you, God, with whatever happens. And that was a really cool milestone for me in my faith. Anyway, we get to the hospital that night. They do an ultrasound and they're like, she's perfect. You're just bleeding for some reason. So we don't know why, I just keep going on. Anyway, I end up bleeding for the next 6 weeks, not as heavily, but consistently bled for 6 weeks. And that was over the transition of us moving from the beach to the country. And did a few different ultrasound checkups and she was perfectly fine each time. So I praise the Lord that she's even in that a miracle baby to me that she is here, because that excessive bleeding was really crazy at the start. And then throughout my pregnancy, they were like, oh, your baby's breech, you're going to have to, near the end, go see an OB and talk about options for that. And I was like, no, I just really want to have a natural birth. But again, let's trust God. He's really was calling us into line of just complete surrender of trust to him, not needing things to look how we think they should. So I went the next morning to the chiropractor, all the way an hour and a half to get to a chiropractor. She did some things to kind of work on just opening my pelvis. And she was like, I'm not going to tell you where the baby is, but I think you should go to the hospital today and check it before you go on to all these plans of what you're going to do if your baby's breech. And I was like, okay. So I went into emergency, got checked, and they were like, your baby's not breech. It's perfect. And that was such a cool testimony to me, because the day before the midwife had said, your baby's breech, we're going to have to talk about options of delivery. And then I woke up the next morning and felt the baby's hiccuping up near my chest. So I knew the baby's head was up there. And then we went that morning and she was switched around and she stayed that way till birth. And it was just such a blessing. And I was just able to forget about it and just move on. So that was so cool. Alrighty, so we got to the time when I was around my due date. Now, my first daughter was 2 weeks early. My two sons were both on their due date. So I'm expecting maybe a bit early, maybe on due date this baby would come. It was a girl, the same as my first. So I was like very expectant, which was dumb, but I was. Anyway, I ended up hitting my due date. Nothing happened, felt fine and normal. And I was like, okay, this is so weird. We then went 3 days past my due date. Finally, I went into labor, but it was a really cool time of trusting God, because something had happened in my community a few weeks earlier that struck a lot of fear into my heart outside of my family. It was with something else. And it actually had brought up a lot of like fear trauma from my childhood, which was really hard. And I was like, Lord, please help me to just fully release this and forget about this. But it was a daily struggle to not be like consumed in anxiety in my mind. And I kind of had to face some of my biggest fears and battles those few weeks leading up to birth, which is very hard for me because I really like to focus solely on just trusting God with the huge physical act I'm about to go through, and not have to deal with outside fear things. But that's just the circumstances. That's what went on. So I had that going on throughout the few weeks beforehand. But outside of that, I felt so physically great. I had no sciatic nerve pain, which I had in my previous pregnancies. I had no swelling at all, which I had in my previous pregnancy with Kai. I, with Kai's pregnancy, got this rash all over my stomach and thighs. That's called, I forget the name of the rash, but it's a pregnancy rash that some women get at the end of their pregnancy, and it is like profusely itchy, and it looks like I have like a sickness all over my tummy and my legs, and it's just insanely itchy all through the night, all through the day. So I had all that with Kai, and we prayed against that, and I didn't get that with Flo at all, which was just a miracle. And I wasn't swollen. I was not aching at all. I was like doing all the kids, all the cooking, cleaning, like went for my big walks up the property every day. We like went to the river and just lived normally, and I felt great. And I was like, this is so good, Lord. But I'm also worried isn't this baby going to come? Because with Noah and Kai, I had prodromal labor. Like Kai had it for 2 whole weeks before I gave birth. And with Noah, I had prodromal labor just at nighttime and if I had a nap. But outside that, I felt nothing. So I was like, I've not even had contractions. And I'm like past 40 weeks. I'm feeling great. I've got no swelling, no aching, no signs of labor coming. No, I never lose my mucus plug that I'm aware of. Well, I lose it, but I'm never aware of losing my mucus plug in any of my pregnancies. I just was feeling normal, totally normal. Anyway, on the day of 3 days past my due date, I woke up, had a completely normal morning, baked some bread, baked Kai's birthday cake that was in the next few days, went for my big walk. Big walk is like 10 to 15 minutes out of my property driveway. And I was literally just enjoying it. I was enjoying the Lord. I was like not in my little pity party anymore of like the other few days being like, is she coming today, Lord? I was just praising him. I remember literally dancing and twirling and skipping up the driveway, 40 weeks pregnant. And I did like some side steps on these old stairs I found out at the cabins in the woods, and was just dancing and singing to him, feeling great, just literally feeling totally released. Anyway, came home, lied down as I had every other day after my walk at this lunchtime break, and listened to some of the Christian hypnobirthing that I did, which was absolute game changer for me. It was an incredible resource through my pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. Through my birth, as you'll hear, I had it literally in my ears the whole time. And if you don't know, Christian hypnobirthing is controversial, so do whatever you feel is right with the Lord. For me, it was so right. It was literally just declaring the truth of God and speaking scriptures over me consistently. And for how my brain works, I love to meditate on the truth because my brain is very eager and hungry for truth. That times when I slip and I go into my emotions is when I just am blank of mind and I cannot get myself to the truth or the understanding that I have. But as soon as someone tells me or my mind thinks of it or I hear it, I pull myself into line and hold kind of militant to that truth. So to meditate for weeks beforehand and to journal with my journaling practice of what my birth would be was a huge game changer for this birth. And I can honestly say this birth was not pain-free. It was very painful and had its challenges, but it was the most controlled, at peace and joyful I felt in any of my births. And it was truly a huge blessing, this birth. I finished it and went, I did that. And I was really proud of myself. Anyway, I'm jumping ahead. Back to that day. I started as I lied down listening to Christian hypnobirthing, feeling some squeezing in my tummy. And I was like, oh, is this it? But I didn't get too excited because, as I said, my other pregnancies, I had prodromal labor for ages before. And so I thought, is this just the start of prodromal labor? Like, what the heck? And it was so gentle and so soft, but still painful, that I was like, it's probably nothing. I'm just going to keep going about my day and wait till something consistent happens. So I came in, did my normal book reading time with the kids after their rest time, and it continued on. And then as I did stuff around the house, it continued on. And I was like, ooh, this is really cool. So it was around 2 o'clock and I went to Brad and I was like, Brad, I timed it. And when I was reading the books, it was like every 5 minutes. But then very quickly, as it does in all of my labors, it moved up to being every 2 to 3 minutes, which is all my labors, even though they've all been quite long labors. I have from the very beginning contractions for every 2 minutes until I give birth. So because it was every 2 minutes and it was consistent, I was like, Brad, I think this is game time. Now, I wanted to leave for the hospital instantly as soon as I had a contraction because in case she came really quickly. But we ended up having to do things on the farm for the bore water to be able to leave the property and get food ready for the kids and set Amber and Nath up, that our brother and sister-in-law who were living with us, that we didn't end up leaving. So it was around 2, I told Brad. We didn't end up leaving till like 3:40. So praise the Lord, it all just stayed really low level, really gentle, like just nothing much. So we hop into the car and I kind of had a little like moment like, what are we doing, Brad? Like, this is my birth. This is happening. Like, where do I want to be situating my mind? What do I want to be doing? And he's like, Ellie, don't talk to me. Just listen to your Christian hypnobirthing and be in the zone, because you told me that women who are able to release and soften and surrender and progress their labor are women who are just completely switched on and in like finding their strength from within rather than outwardly trying to find strength or being distracted or chat or whatever. So I was like, great idea. We literally drove for an hour and a half. I listened to this Christian hypnobirthing. The sun was setting. I was just with Brad. And I can say I genuinely enjoyed that whole hour and a half. I enjoyed my contractions. They felt just like fuzz all over my body. And they were intense and strong, but I was able to just be there with them, and it was great because it was really gentle. We got to the hospital and I had to wait in the emergency area where women come to be checked when they're like bleeding or have something wrong, which I just thought was mind-blowing that when I'm in labor, I had to just sit around with all these women waiting. But that was what the experience was. So I went in there and I was like, please, Lord, help them to let me in. I was still in very early labor. Like, I felt very restful. And I got this awesome midwife who was like, don't worry, I'll get you straight in. This is your fourth baby. You've got this. And I was like, could I please have a bath? Because it's not promised to you if you have a bath in your room or not. And I need a bath. Like, I need to bath in water. Like, in my last few pregnancies have not birthed out of water, and it is my epidural. I need it. It's where everything softens. I really, really, really like the water. So the midwife was like, sure, I'll get you one. And she was awesome. And I went into my room and everything kind of stopped. And I was like, Brad, what am I going to do? Like, I'm on the clock now. I'm checked into hospital. Like, if I don't progress, if I don't show what they want to be seeing, I'll be sent back into that waiting room. Do we drive home? Like, I can't handle this pressure. He was like, just get yourself back into the zone, listen to your hypnobirthing, and just connect with God. So our midwife came in to meet us, and praise the Lord, first blessing, well, there's many others that have already occurred, but a huge blessing to me was that she had birthed her own babies at home. So she was like so, so lovely. And she was like, yes, I am going to do the best I can to pretty much give you a home birth experience in this hospital. And I was like, I cannot praise the Lord enough for this, because the person who is given you as your caretaker, it's really in their hands how your birth goes. Because if they're strict or they're grumpy or they don't want to do and they want to let doctors in, they'll just run the show however they want to run it. And I am not a super strong person in those scenarios who can stand for my rights. And that's why I don't love hospitals, because I just don't want to have to build myself up to that place when I'm trying to concentrate on giving birth to a baby and staying peaceful. So she was amazing. She came in, she put fairy lights up on my walls and put essential oils diffusing, and she had bananas all over her scrubs. She was like, had like colorful scrubs on. And I was like, this is such a blessing to me. And she just walked in quietly. We had all the lights off and just did her little thing on the computer and walked out and just said, you're doing great. And really didn't interact with me. And I was like, this is such a blessing. So anyway, we got booked in around 6 o'clock. I then just got in the zone and I literally just labored by myself in the room, moving the whole entire time. I had a bar. I had this thing I could lean on. I was just swaying my hips on my ball, listening to my hypnobirthing, and just being connected with God and His Spirit, and just being so deeply inwardly focused and just not being disturbed out of that place. And alrighty, little Flossie has now joined us, the lady herself, so hopefully you don't mind the little baby sound. She grunts a lot, by the way, so pre-warning for that. So yes, I was just enjoying it, doing it all by myself, and it all felt honestly completely fine and manageable. I was like, sweet, this is great. Brad just sat in the chair and did his own thing, and I was like, I just want to fully concentrate, which is so different to all the other times. I'm usually completely dependent on him to get through everything, which was just such a blessing. I just felt really good. Anyhow, it instantly picked up as soon as we got there. I spent the next probably 2 hours just swaying and moving and just getting through them myself. Once I felt like they were like a bit like beyond me of intensity, I was like, okay, I want you to put the bath on. And that in itself is a miracle, because the midwives have told me because of Kai's birth, they're not going to allow me because of policy to have a bath. They said I could override that, but that will be their policy, and that's what they're going to try and push on me. So it would have been whatever my midwife felt comfortable with herself to deliver. Like, if she was like, well, I'm not comfortable to deliver in the bath, then she wouldn't have done that. But this lady did not question me. I wrote a very detailed birth plan, and they were all like, we're so impressed, this is awesome. And my birth plan was like completely undisturbed, do not talk to me unless you must, blah blah blah. Anyway, she was so respectful. She's put the bath on. I got into it and it was instant relief and I just loved it. But it was also now game on. Like, it was just probably the few contractions before transition getting into the bath. And it was like complete concentration, kind of moaning and deep sounds. And Brad pressed this part on my back that I remember asking to happen in Kai's birth, because I'd a lot of pain then, and it was so relieving. Like, he pressed this area in my back, did like hip squeezes and pressed this area in my back, and it took away like 70% of the intensity. It was so amazing, but it was still incredibly intense all over my whole body. Anyway, I was laboring and I was feeling pretty good, and then the midwife was like, oh, then I started pushing, but the pushing was like very gentle. It was like this gentle push at the end of my contractions. And I'd done that for maybe half an hour. And the midwife was like, you know what? I've not checked you this whole time because I asked not to be. She was like, you started pushing. We're not seeing anything because of your past. I would really like to check to just make sure you're 10 centimeters. And my whole heart sunk. I was like, oh no, I'm in the most intense contractions right now and I am contracting so hard and you need me to get out of the water, be wet, lie on my back on the bed and be checked. But anyway, this midwife had respected me so much. I was like, I'm just going to do what she wants because I like they need to feel safe being the person taking care of me. So I was like, okay, so I got up. I had the most incredibly intense contractions on the bed, obviously. I'm so uncomfortable, feeling really vulnerable. I was like squirming and just kind of like really, it's okay. Sorry, we got stuck on a broom. It was a very hard time on the bed for those few minutes. And then she was like, you're 10 centimeters, get back in, you've got this girl. And I was like, yes. And I was so happy. And then I pushed, so I think my pushing was an hour or an hour and a half. All of my pushing is very long, except for Kai's where I force him out. But she kept feeling for the baby in the heartbeat and she was like, darling, your baby is posterior, so it's going to be a bit of a harder time pushing, but you're doing really well. That's why it's taking a while. And I was like, okay, wow, I haven't delivered a posterior baby, but I really was feeling it all in my back. And by the like last half an hour, I was like, Brad, press harder. And he was like, I am pressing as hard as I possibly can. But it honestly felt like nothing. Like at that point, it didn't feel like any relief at all. It was all very, very intense. But the cool thing was I wasn't in like an uncontrollable state or I can't do this or anything. I was honestly just going, I can do this. I will do this. I've got this, and was just really concentrating. And it was really beautiful. It was hard because I felt like my pushing is so long. It's like, yeah, and I think it was an hour. And it's kind of like every contraction I have in that hour is like as painful as my transition contraction. So incredibly bad until it reaches the peak, and then it's still incredibly painful, but my body then suddenly has this urge to push. So it's like every contraction, I kind of had to follow that wave of going, you're getting intense and going up the hill, then you're about to break, but you know that that pushing urge is going to come in, which helped me get through them so much because I'm obviously working with my body. But this time I was like, I do not want to overpush. I do not want to force anything. I really want to go with the flow of my body and push out my baby at whatever pace my body is pushing, even if it's not super strong. So after I'd got back from the bed and got in the water, all of my pushing was super strong and effective from that point onwards. But after that next half an hour of pushing, when it was my last few pushes, I had like 3 or 4 pushes where I felt physical movement of the baby coming down and down and down, which was good, but it was probably the only point I kind of lost control because it really freaked me out feeling so aggressively the baby's head coming. And then obviously the ring of fire when her head was half out. I definitely lost it. Oh, it's okay, baby. She's crawling and standing, so she's constantly falling over. I really lost it and freaked out and was like, ah. And the midwife just like took hold of me and was so strong. And she was like, Ellie, take a deep breath now. Take a deep breath. You have got this. And honestly, as soon as I took the deep breath and calmed myself down, again, 90% of that pain went away, which was fantastic. But yeah, those last few pushes of getting her head out was intense, as we all know, very, very intense. But she literally came out after 3 or 4 pushes from when I really felt active movement, and I didn't tear at all. And she came into the water and Brad pushed her through my legs and I lifted her up and just held her and was so joyful and was just so proud of myself because I was so calm and steady through it all. And I just kept saying, I did it, which was so cool because after my other births, obviously, Kai and Hazel were emergency exits, so they were very shocking and hard. And I wasn't like celebrating at all. I was just like, thank goodness I'm alive. Thank goodness my baby's alive, in a lot of shock. And Noah's was cool, but it was my first. Oh, Flossie, you're making a real noise on this podcast because you're falling. Noah's was my first time giving birth naturally without any drugs. So I was like, oh my goodness, what did I just go through? Like, that was really painful. Here we go, Flo-Flo. This time it was still very painful, but very calm and in control. And I was just so proud of how steady I was and how peaceful God had kept me and how he gave me the ability to do it again for the fourth time. It's always such a miracle to me that an actual human comes out. Anyway. Unfortunately, they had thought I had lost a lot of blood. So I had to go straight onto the table to deliver the placenta. I decided to just have the needle to deliver the placenta because they were concerned about my blood loss, and my contractions are always, I'm sure it's for everyone, but like shockingly painful after I give birth waiting for that placenta to come. So I was like, that was so huge just getting her out. I really don't want to have to lie here while I'm on a bed going through these types of contractions. I just felt so uncomfortable and wet and cold and bloody that I was like, oh, you can just do the needle. So I did the needle and gave birth to the placenta. But then they were like, oh, we need to give you all these drugs for the blood loss, which was unfortunate because then I had like five or six different people in the room. All the lights switched on. They're like hooking me up with catheters and literally running around doing this whole performance. And I'm like, guys, I just gave birth. Like, it's so, so different to the holy sacredness of home birth, where you're like in your own bed, brought a cup of tea, snuggled up by your kids and husband, and they're like very gently talking to you and celebrating you and doing all their paperwork. Very different afterbirth experience. But after they had gotten all that done, they then left us. But then they left us. I was wet and cold and literally covered my whole entire body in bed in blood for probably like a few hours. And we kept asking, could someone come and like give me a blanket or something, because I was so cold and air conditioning. And they just had all these emergencies they were going to, so there was no one available. So that was a bit tricky, but we all fell asleep. I didn't actually fall asleep the whole entire night. Brad fell asleep. And then a few hours later, they came in and a nurse helped me have a shower. It was like 2 or 3 a.m. at this point. I'd given birth, by the way, at 11:28 p.m. on the 31st of July. And me and Brad were really standing for some cool things for God to bring breakthrough in July. And we really felt like the baby was going to come July. So it was really exciting that happened just before the month ended. Anyway, and then we got to the next morning and we were like, we just want to get discharged and go see our other kiddos. Like, we just have no desire to be here. So we just tried to get discharged as quickly as we could. And it was the first time a nurse could come see us was at 11 in the morning. So Brad went and got food at a cafe and we just discharged ourselves. And they were like, everything's great, she's great. Flo's just been so perfect from the second she came out. She breastfed instantly and just had no sickness, no issues. And I'm thankful for that, because in my previous experiences, I'd have a midwife come visit my home every day for the first week and then once a week for 6 weeks. But this time, because I'm out in the country, I had nothing. No nurses, no one to come see me. If anything was up, I'd have to go drive to emergency of the hospital to ask for help. Like, this community person did contact me, I think, like 4 weeks after giving birth, but I was like, I'm all good. Thanks. I'm already past all the hard stuff. We did have a tricky time breastfeeding, which was funny because I had exclusively breastfed my babies before her. But I was reminded each baby's their own and they have to learn how to breastfeed just as much as you have to learn to work with them. So I was in quite a lot of pain for the first 2 weeks and quite unsure, because it's a stressful thing because it's their only life source. But I really felt convicted from God that he can give me the wisdom to do this, and this was his will to breastfeed Flo. So I really pressed in and really researched how to get the correct positioning and things. And once I figured out how to open her mouth, swoop her on, get her on in the right way, within a few days, the pain left and we'd continue to breastfeed from then on. Because I co-slept, sleeping was pretty fine. It was definitely an adjustment being up for a few hours for those first 2 weeks where you're like helping them do their nappy and feed properly and stuff. But once everything settled after a few weeks, pretty smooth sailing, which was really great. I do struggle quite considerably in postpartum mentally. I think just with my hormones off, I can struggle with a lot of my own little tricky things in my brain. But otherwise, for the birth story, that pretty much concludes it. I praise God so much for how peaceful and natural my birth was. The midwives even came in and were like, my midwife who was with me was like, it was such an honor to watch you birth naturally, because I don't see many natural births in this hospital. And another midwife who came in said, this is the third ever water birth I've seen in this hospital. No one ever uses the water, the baths. They have 50% C-section rate at this hospital. And if you're not getting C-section, probably the majority of those women, they said, would be completely medicalized, either assisted births or just epidural births. So it was really cool for them to join with me, and they all just celebrated me, and it was just really beautiful. Every midwife I saw were so beautiful. But they said to me, you're so lucky you gave, which wasn't lucky, I was so blessed that I gave birth overnight, because they said if you're on the day shift, they're much stricter and they would have definitely had doctors come in, because usually the doctor needs to come in once I start pushing. And then who knows what they would have done since I take an hour to push out my fourth baby. But no doctors came in at all. It was a completely peaceful, complete trust in me and my body. And I cannot thank God enough for a non-intervention birth. Very, 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 very thankful. So there's my birth story. I really hope it wasn't too long, not too many details, but you could stay along for the journey. And I really praise God for that birth. And I believe for even more out of birth. I really do believe that the Bible says we are free from the curse of pain and sickness and death, and all of that is included in childbirth. I know of people and have heard of so many stories of people who have complete pain-free births. So it's something I'm desiring and going after, but very thankful for God for the journey that I'm going to go on to get there, and very thankful for his intervention and his presence and his peace, regardless of what a birth looks like or not. He did what he needed to do for my heart for this process, and I cannot praise him enough. Thank you guys for listening, and I will chat to you next week. If you enjoyed tuning in today, subscribe here and connect with me over on Instagram, where you can DM me or find my email, as I'd love to connect deeper and pray with you.